The following is a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page, which was posted to his Facebook page on May 3, 2020. At a refugee camp, she saw a 14-year-old boy lying on a dirt floor with acute anemia, respiratory problems, and edema due to malnutrition. It brought back horrible memories. She was born on May 4, 1929. During 5 years of Nazi occupation, her family suffered greatly. The Nazis executed her uncle and a cousin of her mother because of their efforts in the resistance movement and placed her brother in a labor camp. There was always a cloud of fear and repression, she said years later. At the time, she was known as Etta van Hemstra Hepburn-Rusten. When Holland was liberated, relief trucks were one step behind, but malnutrition had left her, then age 16, suffering from acute anemia, respiratory problems, and edema, swelling of the limbs, just like the young boy that she saw at the refugee camp in the Sudan. After the war, she, her mother, and her siblings moved to Amsterdam, where she worked as a cook and a housekeeper to support her family. She wanted to be a ballerina, but she was told that her height and weak constitution, which was the after effect of wartime malnutrition, would make the status of prima ballerina unattainable. She then moved to London, where she started acting. She would eventually make her way to the United States as an immigrant. In 1953, she won her first role. Originally, the producers wanted Elizabeth Taylor opposite Gregory Peck, but director William Wyler was impressed with her screen test. The movie was titled Roman Holiday, the film that would launch Audrey Hepburn's career, although she would become known around the world as the beautiful actress who starred in such memorable films as Breakfast at Tiffany's. Her wartime experience continued to haunt her. When she was offered the lead role in an adaptation of The Diary of Anne Frank, she turned it down. Years later, she told an interviewer that the idea of playing Anne Frank overwhelmed her because she felt too much kinship with the girl whose family was ultimately discovered and killed by the Nazis. She said, "I was exactly the same age as Anne Frank. We were both 10 when war broke out. I was given the book in Dutch, in galley form, in 1946 by a friend. I read it, and it destroyed me," was what she told Leslie Gardner of the London Sunday Telegraph in a 1991 interview. "I have memories. More than once I was at the station seeing trainloads of Jews being transported, seeing all these faces over the top of the wagon. We saw reprisals. We saw young men put against the wall and shot. And they'd close the street and then open it up, and then you could pass by again." If you read the diary, I've marked one place where she says, "Five hostages shot today. That was the day my uncle was shot." And in this child's words, I was reading about what was inside me and still there. It was the catharsis for me. This child who was locked up in four walls had written a full report of everything I'd experienced and felt. I believe Audrey felt survivor's guilt, author Robert Madsen said. She survived, Anne Frank did not. She also revealed later in the book Dutch Girl, Audrey Hepburn and World War II, by Madsen, there were aspects in her early life that she wished to forget. Her Dutch mother, the Baroness Ella van Hemstra, met Hitler in the 1930s and wrote admirably about him in British fascist publications. But she changed her mind during the brutal Nazi occupation of the Netherlands from 1940 to 1945. By contrast, the continuing Nazi sympathies of van Hemstra's English ex-husband, Hepburn's father, Joseph Rusten, kept him jailed through the war. This is according to the Times of Israel. Hepburn herself displayed heroism on behalf of individuals in danger. She volunteered for the resistance, she aided Jews in hiding, and raised funds through dancing to keep them safe, Madsen said. Hepburn finally found the courage to help tell Anne Frank's story when she served as narrator in a special concert tour of the London Symphony Orchestra to raise funds for UNICEF. After she retired from acting, she would become a UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador to provide help and aid to children who were suffering from war like she did. That's when she saw the young boy in the Sudan, according to the Audrey Hepburn website. That was exactly the same way I finished the war. That age, with all those three things, acute anemia, respiratory problems, and edema. As UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, she visited a polio vaccine project in Turkey, training programs for women in Venezuela, projects for children living and working on the streets in Ecuador, projects to provide drinking water in Guatemala and also Honduras, and radio literacy projects in El Salvador. She saw schools in Bangladesh, projects for impoverished children in Thailand, nutrition projects in Vietnam, and camps for displaced children in the Sudan, according to UNICEF. Hepburn received the United States' highest civilian award, the Presidential Medal of Freedom, in December 1992. During that year, though ill with cancer, she had continued her work for UNICEF, traveling to Somalia, Kenya, the United Kingdom, Switzerland, France, and the United States. She would say all of her achievements in life, what she was most proud of was how she helped millions of children as UNICEF Goodwill Ambassador, helped impoverished children in the poorest nations, and brought them much-needed food, medicine, and clothing, just as she had received when she was a child. According to a 2019 article in the People magazine, Hepburn, who died in 1993 at age 63 from abdominal cancer, spent the last 4 years of her life as an ambassador for UNICEF. Even more than her beloved films, she found her mission to call attention to the suffering of the world's children her true calling. There is a moral obligation, she would say, that those who have should give to those who don't. We have a debt to each other, to humanity. Maybe some people don't feel that way, and I rather pity them. I think people like that live such an isolated life and don't have the joys of helping, of changing the world a little bit. As Madsen said, here is a woman who, as a girl, experienced horrible things and channeled them into beauty and positivity, spreading messages of peace and survival. This was a reading from the John S. Randall Peace Page, produced at the KTWH Community Radio Studios in Two Harbors, Minnesota, with the generous permission of John S. Randall. You can find the John S. Randall Peace Page on Facebook. Just look for John, J-O-N-S, Randall, R-A-N-D-A-L. I'm your narrator, Kim Leon, and I thank my co-producer, Jackson Leon. And I also thank you, the listener. Won't you love me as I